Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, joyful, happy. That's not really two. Those are two different things. Happy is almost like fake. It's like surface stuff. Joyful is heartfelt. It's iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. That's what we live by. That's what we attempt to do through this radio show of being able to reach men. Say, hey, listen, man, you're not alone in your walk with Christ on this earth. And you're listening to this because you have a relationship with Jesus. It may not be the best, but let's see if we can get it back on track. Or if it is good, you're going to be encouraged to share that with others. Today we have a topic that is about something that I think it affects all of us to a certain degree. In some cases, some of us so overwhelmed with it, we just don't know what way to turn. And that's time management. What does the Bible have to say about that for us? In the studio with me today, that has all the answers for time management, is Duke.
Thank you very much.
Let's see, you have a lot of years of experience on this earth. And,
I don't have that many years. Now, come on, don't be pushing it.
Okay, you're more than 30. Yeah, more than 30.
I'm over 30. Yeah.
Yes, so and less than 70. So there, I'm safe.
All right, you are. Yeah.
I'm safe there. And, but you have some experiences that you'll be willing to share with us today, and we're going to kind of delve into that sort of thing. And but I'm glad you're here with me today, brother. Well, listen, we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of encouragement for the men who are listening. Some guys end up only listening to part of the show because they got to get going to work or they've got other things going on. But we want them to always feel like they're being encouraged. And so is there anything that comes to mind that you...
And it's, I can't be the only one that has this happen, but at different dates or anniversaries, sometimes you visit how things are going, I guess. Over the weekend, went for a horseback ride on Saturday. It was just this gorgeous day. No expectation, but to just take in God's creation kind of deal, you know. Yeah. You tend to think, you know, have I done this, done that? Am I, you know? And I was just, I guess, reminded with a sense of peace. About not to worry about those things and just be thankful for all that God had allowed me. And I was there to be with my family yet another day.
Yep.
So that was encouraging to me. Yep. Sometimes it's nice just to reflect on where you can be thankful and why. And yeah, if a birthday is the date that brings that to mind, then praise God. It does for me. So yeah. I'm like, okay, another year, Lord. Well, like they say, I don't feel a year older, but I do believe that I've grown considerably in my walk with God in the last year. I know that.
Yeah. You know, these milestones, like a birthday or an anniversary or whatever it might be, things that are highlighted in our own lives, we have a tendency of taking a look of a little, not necessarily conscious of it in a sense, but we take a self-inventory of where we're at. Where am I at today? In so many things, in so many ways, and as you said, you end up, you did a ride on Saturday, thinking about this sort of thing, but in God's creation, realizing just not doing anything. In a certain sense, you are actually saying, you know what? I'm just going to take a time out here, and kind of enjoy something that I'm want to do, that I know that benefits me, not only physically but emotionally, mentally, and most importantly, spiritually, being filled up with gratitude because of what God has done in your life, right?
Amen.
And so really what you ended up doing is encouraging all of us to say, hey, listen, take the time to to spend in reflection of maybe what Jesus has done in our lives. You know, maybe we don't see it today because maybe we're in the way. Maybe we're keeping the grace and his joy and his faithfulness into our lives by trying to do things our way rather than his way.
Well, that sounds like you're speaking from experience.
Oh, well, I've got a few more days than you do, brother. And so, you know, it. But the fact is it really comes down to that sometimes this life goes by so quickly. And this is a good encouragement to kind of segue right into our topic here.
It does. Well, this is what was on my heart the last few days. And oftentimes the subject that we discuss is something that's usually on my heart, sometimes on yours, or some experience we've had in the week. And this one has been pressing on me for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we end up taking responsibility for the things that we do in life as men, you know, we're created to be providers, teachers, protectors, you know, to be able to take responsibility not only for our families, but for those that God has put into our lives. And so sometimes it can be overwhelming with the responsibilities that end up coming, not only work responsibility of actually going and providing for the family so that there is a place to live that is out of the weather and able to make provision for provision to be able to feed the family and whatever that looks like. And as a result of it, God has actually, you know, he created men to be leaders.
Oh, yes.
You know, we're meant to be a leader. We're the head of the family. But we are also submissive to the head of us, who is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, is submitted to God the Father. Okay? And so if there isn't submission, there's not really going to be leadership. So there's got to be something above us.
Well, there's the dance.
There you go. Well, and the key is to keep it in focus that way, of knowing that there is someone that is an authority over me. And if I seek him, I'm going to be able to have a better idea. And if I listen, take the time to listen and then apply it into my life, what he says to me, then my life could end up being maybe a likelihood a little bit better than what it has been when I'm the only one doing it. Right?
Amen.
So that's the end of our show. There you go.
the whole thing revolves around what you said. Apply it.
Yeah.
You know, through our walk and whatever our challenges or our blessings are, there are different times when God shows up. Different things prompt us to make different decisions at different crossroads and all that. And although we can all, you know, I think relate to having difficulty with getting it all done in the day and all of that.
Yeah.
I'll share real briefly. There was an illustration that I saw at a church recently that helped put that in perspective.
Yeah.
And we've all seen this, or some of us, maybe some of the listeners haven't, but he had two buckets up front.
Mm-hmm.
One had some big rocks in it, and the other one had like sand and dirt in it. Now, the sand and dirt one was pretty full already. I mean, it was almost right to the top. And as he went through his sermon, he sifted his fingers through that, and he pointed out, this is our daily stuff. This is our, I think he said Facebook like four times, because it was all about the stuff in our lives that we all put a rating of priority or importance on it, right? Then the other bucket was the bucket of rocks, where he picked up one. He says, this is your family, this is your marriage, or your relationship, and of course the big rock in the bottom of the bucket, he says, this is God.
Mm-hmm.
So he emptied the buckets and refilled them another way. That is, he took the big rocks and he put the God rock in the bucket first.
Mm-hmm.
Then he put the other family, work, you know, the other, and then he poured the sand and all the stuff in later.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the illustration was that when he was done, the bucket was full to the proper level, having put God in there first.
Right.
But, man, is that hard to do? That's the apply that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do that in that I wake in prayer. I'm thankful throughout the day. But it seems like that there's just not enough hours in the day. And what You know, well, God, so, help minister this to me while I pray about it. You know,
so often, I mean, even the analogy that Pastor used there with the bucket, if he had not put the large rocks that represented God and family and the things that are important, and if he just filled it with even halfway or three quarters of the way, I should say, with sand, okay, with all the things that is about life. Now you try to put the rocks in and see if you can make them fit in that bucket.
No, and you can't.
And it's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, you could. Yeah, it's going to take a lot. We're going to be digging in there and trying to move things around. Oh, gosh, I can get this rock. That's as far as I can. That's as far as I'm going to put. Now, something's not going to fit as a result of that because of so much stuff. And that's what happens in our lives. We get sometimes so busy or caught up. And maybe our priorities are out of whack of what's important and what we think is something that we ought to be doing. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've made decisions based on what I feel is right and feels good to me.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
And as a result of doing that, the more often that we do that, because I am a selfish being. In the flesh, that's who I am, you know, in the flesh. I want to make sure that I've got my comfort, that I've got the things that make me feel good and that are pleasing to me, okay? Now, when Jesus comes into the picture, all of a sudden I realize that maybe things are kind of out of whack and my focus has to be readjusted, so to speak, right? I start looking at life a little bit differently. But now my life is so caught up in a certain sense where I realize that, okay, there are certain things that are not as important. I don't need have that in my life or this in my life. And so I've done well. And so I'm thinking, oh, wow, look at this. I've done well. You know, these things are not important in my life, but your life is still busy with a lot of other things. Okay. You know, I've always
necessary thing. I mean, well, I've done this exercise you just described. I, as I've grown in the Word, as I've sought God,
right.
I have gone through the priority of, does this really matter? Do I really need to, spend 2 hours over here or whatever? And I'll choose to intentionally choose my time with my family, the quality, this, or with my job, because I have a responsibility to that to provide for my family, right?
Yes.
So, but it still seems that there are times when I really struggle with, the day is done. Have I, you know, did I get up and pray to begin my day? Yes. Did I care for my family well? Was I successful at my job? Was I nice and smiled and opened doors? And yeah, all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, I still feel like I shorted God some way, brother. I mean, I still, and it's less than it being a thirst for knowledge and more about, am I being obedient to the one that makes it all happen anyway? You know, that's the struggle. That's the dance.
Yeah. Here's the thing is that I believe that he gives us a different perspective of looking at things, and then things become uncomfortable. And I know this, when things become uncomfortable, before they used to be sin in my life, and I just, and I knew that something was not right. Well, that's because the Spirit in me just did not feel comfortable with what I wanted to do or desire to do, because it just doesn't mix right, you know? It's difficult to be a follower of Jesus Christ and have him in my heart, okay, and to try to do something sinful that is contrary to what he would love for us to be doing. There's going to be a shakeup, okay?
Yeah.
Whether it's emotional, physical, and obviously spiritually, it changes us around. So we get to a place in our walk where all of a sudden we realize in this relationship with Jesus Christ that there are certain things. We become aware of certain things. Now, mind you, I think you would be in agreement here. Here we are. We're beyond that halfway point in our lives, okay, where we know that, I know that I have more sand at the bottom of my hourglass than I do at the top, okay?
Amen.
And we have men who are listening who are still youthful in age. You may be in your 30s or your 20s or 40s for that matter, but you've got, according to the way that our lifespan would be on this earth, more time. But here's the thing. We rely on that thinking we're going to be around for another, when I'm 20 or 30 years old, another 40, 50 years. I got plenty of time to be able to get things together with the Lord, and I'm just going to do everything I can to kind of get the things that I'd like to have and secure that so I have them for years to come to be able to have, you know, for my family and for me and et cetera, right?
Yeah.
And what ends up happening? Before we realize it, the days have gone by, the years have flown by, and you sit there at mid-age or a little older sometimes, and you sit there and go, wow, wait a minute here. The Bible talks about in the book of James, right? And in James 4, chapter 4, verse 14, in my ESV, it says this, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You know, we've all seen it, right? We've seen the steam from the at different plants around. You see the vapor, steam vapor, right? It's there, it's a cloud, and all of a sudden, but, you know, a little ways away, it's all of a sudden, it vanishes, it's gone.
Yes.
And that's what our lives are like, right? Hey, yes, we can be seen, we're impacted. The people, I mean, we even cause shade or something like that in some cases. But the point is that it doesn't take very long before you know it, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And our lives are the same way. And we get that realization when we have this relationship with Jesus Christ because we're sober minded of realizing that, hey, you know what? I wonder if I'm doing everything the way that I ought to be doing it. I wonder if my life is exactly what he would want me to be doing. I would like to think it is. I believe in him. I do go to church. I tithe. I have friends. And maybe I don't read the Bible as much. Maybe I don't pray as much. Maybe I'm not doing a lot of things that I believe I hear that I would probably feel better if I were doing more often. And yet we catch ourselves saying, oh, I'll put it off till tomorrow. I'll do it another time. And before we know it, some more time has gone by.
Yes, and is that a dance between not being conscious and obedient, or is that one of Satan's devices trying to leverage in there to let you know, yeah, no, now you're feeling guilty. That's okay. Well, you'll never recover from that, so you might as well just forget it. You know,
And just go on and keep seeking this sort of thing because you get your own pleasure because, you know what, you're here one moment, the next moment you're gone. But here's the deal. The Bible says that, you know, God has created us for a purpose and a means. He says, I've got something planned for you, okay? And I want you to be doing my work, okay? I want you to be doing things for me. He said, you know, plain and simple, he says, hey, first love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So all the guys are listening going right now, okay, yeah, I hear that. I know that. But... well, let's do this, but let's take a break, and we'll come back, and I'll give you this other part of this so that you know that exactly what is to be taking place in our lives because, yes, God does say, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
A little faith, let it start right here in this city. So these old walls will never be the same. Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. They need to know, I need to go. Spirit, won't you fall on my heart now? Start a fire in my soul.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Raul and Duke in the studio here. We're talking about time management. What does the Bible say about that sort of thing? And we mentioned already a little bit about James chapter 4, verse 14. It talks about our lives, what they look like. I mean, in the span of eternity, I mean, we're here only for a second. I mean, really. And
a, but a God, what now?
A splecant.
A splecant.
Yes.
Is that a Raoul word?
No.
That's cool.
Look it up.
Splecant.
A splecant. It's a second split.
Okay.
It's a
splecant. Okay.
Splecant.
All right.
Look
well,
it up.
Okay. Everybody.
Google it.
I'm going to.
Okay. The
splecant.
The thing is that we end up in seeking God and what He wants us to do. We say we want to follow Him. Yeah. Okay. And Jesus talks about, He gives us, God gave us the Ten Commandments. This is what I want you to follow here, okay? And then Jesus comes and He says, okay, yes, here are these Ten Commandments kind of combined into two. The greatest commandment is that to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. To love others as you love yourself. And that's it. This comprises the whole thing, in a sense,
yes.
Okay? All ten, okay? But the simple fact is that I need to think of others more highly than myself, or love them like I think of myself, to take care of them like I think of myself, okay? God knows our nature. He knows everything about us, right? He knows that we desire to take care of my, if I'm hungry, I'm going to feed myself. If I'm cold, I'm going to put some clothing on. If I'm dirty, I'm going to wash myself. I'm going to take care of myself. So He wants us to be able to do the same thing for those who are incapable of doing that for themselves, right?
Yes.
Or think of others more highly of than ourselves. The fact is that when we do that, we end up sometimes getting caught up with trying to do so much for so many and thinking that we've got to be the only one. And especially when you get to that place, and it's not a self-righteousness of sitting there saying, oh, I'm the only one that can do this. We get caught up sometimes. Yes, there might be some times in there where all of a sudden I think that I'm doing this and it's only me that can do it. But sometimes the simple fact is that that's not what God had intended. What He intended is for us to be able to share that sort of thing. Because when we share with others about what Jesus has done in our lives, okay, and we show the reflection of Jesus Christ in the love and in our actions, they're going to ask, how did you get this? Where did this come from?
Yes.
We're going to talk about Jesus. And Jesus now, if you open the Bible, He's going to reveal Himself from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about Jesus, okay? Well, anyway, he tells Moses in Psalm 9, or I should say Moses mentions it here, okay, that Moses prays. He says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, okay? So teach us to number our days, knowing that each day is important. This is the day that He's given us. May we rejoice and be glad in it, okay? Now, when we rejoice, that's taking action and doing things that we believe the Father wants us to be doing, that God, Jesus Christ Himself, the Holy Spirit, wants us to be doing. And as a result of that, our days may be fulfilled. Yet, we have a tendency of thinking that we need to keep doing it, and it all has to be all about us. And I mentioned it to you this morning. I said, hey, man, look at the book of Exodus, right? Do you have it there?
Yes, I do. I just love it. I can always count on going to Scripture to find the wisdom or direction or answer something. And here, this kind of blew me away. Exodus 18, starting about verse 13, the next day Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for his people, he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire about God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another and make them know their statutes of God and His laws. So here's Moses in his job. He's real busy. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. So there's Moses' father-in-law, first admonition about job burnout.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's how I look at that. So here we are, just right, even back then. Wow.
See, nothing is new under the sun. These are the same things that are going on. How often have we mentioned to our sons, our son-in-laws, of saying, hey, listen, man, you're working too hard. Your kids, your wife, they need your presence. You know, come on, you're too burned out. You can't be doing this all the time. You need to have someone else take care of some of this load, you know. Either that or you're going to die.
Now, this is all great advice. We and our family have told us this, for these guys that, you know, workaholics, all that. How many men have looked back, or we've seen, known or seen men that say, yeah, I should have spent more time with my family.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas if we spend more time with God, then that should follow,
really,
if we're obedient to that. But it's such a common thing, Raul. Even pastors that I will seek out, you find that they're, sometimes they don't have much of an answer other than their battle. It's a daily thing.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Well, the simple thing is that we can easily get caught up in believing that we have to be the ones to do it, or that we need to keep doing it because there's so much work that needs to be done. Well, Jesus talks about it in Matthew. He says, you know, the work is heavy. It's ongoing, but the laborers are few. And as a, whether you're a leader or to a certain capacity, you see that, and you try to get more people to get involved, and it's so difficult to do that.
It
is. Able to get people to commit, to be able to make a take responsibility to have something done, and it's ongoing because so often the enemy will say, "Hey, listen, what, you don't have to do that right now. You can do that later on. You can do that sort of thing when you're, you know." After the kids are out of school and you got more time on your hands, then you can go ahead and help out and do that sort of thing. You know, who are we listening to? That's really what it comes down to. Our God is not a God of confusion, the Bible talks about. So I think that's something that we need to keep in mind. And the simple fact is that the more that we seek Him and what He has in store for us and take the time to listen, well, just maybe we might hear what we need to hear, right?
Yes.
Let's take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to continue talking about this sort of thing of managing our time and what truly is the Lord wanting us to do with all of this. Is it about just saying, okay, I've given you 1 hour a week, and that's enough? Mm. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
Into your word we're digging deep to know our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul, and you know, it's so easy to get caught up in hearing what we're talking about here that, wow, you know, I just seem to have messed up. You know, I missed the target. I missed the boat. I wasn't even on the right range in some cases because I thought I was trying to do things not only for God, okay, because trying to get some men to just get up off the couch in a sense and say, hey, I'll commit to doing certain things. God wants you to do something for Him. He has a plan. You were created not to just sit and watch TV on the couch. Yes, I know you work hard and you deserved rest, but is there more rest so that you can work harder at doing the things that maybe you're spinning your wheels Maybe is it truly what God had intended? How do you know that? Well, a big part of what takes care of that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. Our fellowship with other brothers who are like-minded doing the same thing is so, so important. Because if we try doing it thinking that we've got the answer, we got it figured out, we may just be spinning our own wheel here, okay? And we're going around and around so fast, nobody's even going to try to get on or try to get our attention. And our families try to stay clear of us because we're just like a Tasmanian devil in a sense, bouncing around over the place, right? The point being is that doing and slowing down and saying, okay, Lord, help me to put things in perspective. Sometimes by hearing it from other brothers, okay, knowing that you're not alone in your struggles and your challenges. That's why we do this radio show, to let you know that, hey, man, you're not alone in this thing. We've all been there at one point or another, or maybe you're going there.
Or in it.
But the fact is that you're not alone. And the Bible is so clear about being able to never give up in meeting together like this. You know, it talks about it. It says, stay together, man. Always stay together. So that's part of what we end up doing here. You know, in the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about realizing exactly what it is that is taking place. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the simple fact is that he says, your time is limited, so let's use it wisely. Now, unfortunately, or in a sense, or I guess, you know, praise God that I finally heard it, figured it out before it was too late. There are some men that I've been to their funerals. I was with them in their last moments on this earth, where there you hear the regret and wishes of their from their heart of saying, I wish I'd spent more time with my family, with my friends. I wish I had sought Jesus more. All of these things. But it's on their dying bed or on their last few minutes on this earth, right?
Yes.
And brother, but now you have been given an opportunity to hear, because it comes not from Duke and I, it comes from the Lord. The things that we're sharing here are saying, hey, now is the time, okay? But not to get burned out, not to try to do it all yourselves, right?
Yeah, amen. And, you know, there's a rub here. That is so often the case, Raul, where we know what's good for us, and yet we tend to go in the opposite direction. And I don't mean run from God. I mean, we know that if we're obedient to his word, and he says, put me first, and I will bless your days afterwards, that we know that if we do that, because we have. I've had the days where my priority that day was God, but I had to be very intentional about it. But then he shows up and he blesses you. So it's a little bit of the, you know what's good for you. It's yes. Like we know we should eat better, but most of us don't, because we allow time, we allow pressures to creep in. It's a journey, yes. As it is with most of the other sound instruction of the scriptures. It's a journey. Just keep seeking him in it.
So you may ask yourself and sit there and say, okay, well, that's great. I see that my life is kind of out of sorts in a sense, and it's just like maybe I am, burning the candle at both ends, and maybe I am not taking responsibility in offering to give assistance maybe to a ministry or to my church because of all the needs are there. You know,
yes.
The Lord, I mean, God reminds us that the work will always be plentiful, and the laborers are always few. Okay? But the simple fact is that there will always be the poor. In other words, there will always be the needy, people who are in need, okay? So it's not a matter of sitting there saying, I need to do help out, because before you know it, you can sit there and you can be burned out. End up burning out, trying, because there's always going to be somebody in need. But you need to be able to prioritize. And this is where I think the application comes in so often, that that we lose focus of what it is that God had intended for us. So we need to prioritize, okay? I believe when we get into this position of prioritizing, we need to be connected to God, not only in his word, but in asking and seeking it. You know, Duke, if I were challenged in an area of my life that I know you might have some experience in, I would probably call you and say, hey, Duke, you know what? I know you got some experience in this area here. I got to run something by you. Would you mind listening? And you'll get to say, obviously, yes, go ahead. So I rattle on, and I just go on for and on and give the whole scenario, maybe take 10, 15 minutes to be able to get that by.
Okay.
Now, what you would expect is that because I came to you and asked you for help, that I would actually take the time to listen to what you had to say.
Oh, yeah, I'll have something to offer, you bet.
Yes, but what happens is that I come to you and I say, listen, I just wanted to, and I'm feeling better that I'm talking to you about it. I'm feeling kind of like deflating. Oh, I feel so much better in my own head. Hey, Duke, thank you so much. Boom, or click, I hang up, right? That's what we do with God, too. We come to him with our prayers, our petitions, our hurts, the desires of our lives. We, you know, our Lord, I'm in disarray. And we sit there and we spend time with him, and we're maybe a gentle breeze outside. Maybe we're in a quiet place. Maybe we're on horseback or taking a walk or a hike someplace. And you're sitting there just with the Lord, and you think, okay, you know. And God wants to speak to us, and all of a sudden we just turn him off, or we shut it down, or I've got to get going, or I close the Bible, or I get up off my knees, or whatever it is. Now I get busy with what I have going, right? And unfortunately, we don't take the time. I don't take the time. Now, if you can relate with this, that's cool, but that's not the reason I'm saying it, because this is what I've had to do. I've had to make the time to try to be quiet and be still with God and allow him to speak into me. And it never comes audibly. It always comes sort of heartfelt. Sometimes it comes from reading scripture.
Yes.
And sometimes it comes from being with another brother, like-minded brother, who shares something with me that I'm sitting there going, wow, I think I'm getting confirmation from God.
Yeah.
Because what you just said made sense to me, and it's something that I've, and then you explain it, right? That's how God speaks to us, I believe. It comes in so many different ways. But taking the time and making the time to be with the Lord and waiting to hear from him is so, so important. So we prioritize. And when we prioritize, that gives us an opportunity to be able to see how things ought to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
God first, right?
Yeah.
And then you can prioritize any way that you want after that. But my priorities is God first, then my relationship with my wife. Mm-hmm. That's the next thing. Then my family, my children and all of my kids, grandkids, and family, extended family, okay? Then it becomes ministry work. And I got to tell you, when I have that in order that way, things seem to go well. That helps me to prioritize the decisions I make on a daily basis, or even, that I have to make for goals that are coming up, okay?
That's so true. And that's the way we're wired, too. We have the tendency to mark that off our list, put God in a box, say, okay, I'm done with that piece, and move on. Yeah. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
No.
So all of a sudden, I've just prioritized my life.
Yeah, yeah.
I set goals of realizing, okay, and goals are good. There's nothing wrong with goals, okay? As long as I'm flexible and available for God, he says, yeah, go ahead and create your goals, okay? And I'll let you know whether you need to continue on that path for those goals. If I continue to seek him, he'll make it either take place or then it becomes more apparent that I need to be on that path or not, okay?
That's part of the key, too, is the praying, and not so much in a needy way and as much as a reveal-to-me way.
Yes, exactly. And then what ends up taking place is that we end up having to get to a place to say, wow, this might be a little much for me to be able to do. Maybe what I ought to do is ask for some help.
Yes.
And that's where the delegation comes in. That's where you heard Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, speak to him and say, hey, listen, man, you keep down this path, you're going to burn out.
Yes.
You know? And then no one's going to be around to be able to help these people out, you know? So in turn, we need to really pay attention to what the Bible is reminding us and letting us know. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back in the closing moments of being able to maybe throw a few things out there that might help keep you or get you on that path of prioritizing. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and we're in the closing moments here of the show, talking about how do we take care of the busyness of life and really prioritizing it and manage it in such a manner. And that's where so often that, you know, if you want to know how to manage something, go to the one who created management. God knows how to manage things. So if we go to the source, and I'm sure he'll be able to always be, if we take the time to be able to listen to it. You know, there's that in Matthew 25, that story of the talents. You know, the men that were given the talents by the rich guy.
Yes.
And he said all had this equal amount of talents, you know. Yeah. And this is another thing about prioritizing what's important and how you end up doing things, you know. And as a result of that, you know, you have the guy who doubled and the amount that he had given, said, here you go, you know. And the rich ruler said, hey, well done, you know, type of thing. Then the guy who ended up saying burying it said, hey, I know what kind of guy you are. You've been really mean, and if people cross you and so on and so forth, I just did not want to cross you. So I buried it, and here it is. Here's your talent back. And you know what he said to him? He said, you just wicked, you know, be out of here. And he gave that talent to the other guy and said, here, make do with this. And we want to be like this guy who actually multiplied the talent. See, God has given us gifts. He's given us spiritual gifts to be able to reach and to expand his kingdom. Those are the talents that he's given us, okay? And as a result of that, what are you going to do with that? Are you just going to keep it to yourself and hold on to it and say, okay, this is what God's given me. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to keep it polished, ready for heaven, so to speak. Mm-hmm. No, I think what needs to happen is that we need to put those talents that he's given us, those giftings that he's given us, into works for his kingdom, okay? But keeping in mind that God himself, creating all of creation, took 6 days to do that. He took a seventh day as a Sabbath. And we need to rest also. And sometimes we need to have somebody kick us in the butt. Sometimes that's what our wives are for. And you tell her, say, no, I got to take care of this. I got to do that. You don't seem to understand. Wait a minute. You're right. Maybe I just don't understand is what it is.
Yes. So anyway. True. Absolutely. Well, and I struggle with it. Sunday's my catch-up day, dear. No, it's not. It's a day of rest. I've had to be really intentional about that.
Yeah.
You?
You have to take the time off. You've got to be able to slow back. And even if you're doing his work, the Lord's work, again, it's prioritized. Is this exactly what he wants you to do? Are there others that can be doing some of the things that you're doing? Are you taking it all on because you feel that nobody else could do it as well?
Well, hey, brother, I'm here to tell you that one of the reasons that I embraced this topic, I guess, is because I also saw it as a way as I felt more anxious, not getting stuff done, feeling this pressure, feeling guilt, it was allowing Satan a foothold in different ways, where I was short with my family or didn't take the time with God that I should take. Yeah. And now Satan's winning that battle, and that makes me angry. So then I get spun out even more.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing, is that the way that we live, we influence others. If you have children at home or grandchildren or people that you influence in your life, okay, they watch you live. You may be sitting here saying that I follow Jesus and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And guess what? You don't think our children, how do you think they come up with their own work ethic? They end up saying, oh, my dad just worked like crazy and we were second or third down the list. You know, we weren't that important. You don't think they're going to do that down the road themselves? That's exactly what they're going to be doing. So the simple fact is that the sooner that we take a look at what we're doing and apply what God is actually trying to get us to put into actions, to enjoy life, to be able to manage life, to seek Him above all things first, okay, then helping others, okay? But truly, when we're seeking God, He's going to say, you need to take a time out, Duke.
Yeah.
This is your day off. And it doesn't have to be on a Sunday. Thank God that we have firemen and policemen on duty on a Sunday.
Yes.
Okay? Not everybody's off on a Sunday. It's a Sabbath. The Sabbath is the day off of being actually in God's presence. That's what it was intended for. So let's do what we can to be in His presence as often as possible, being responsible. And not ever looking at our lives as if we are not managing it well, or in a certain sense, not necessarily being wasteful in the time that God has given us on this earth. Remember, it's only a vapor.
Amen.
There you go. Well, brother, I thank you for being here with us today, with me.
Oh, I love it.
With us.
Loved it. I loved it.
Okay.
Shall I close this in prayer?
Would you?
Okay. Father God, my Lord Jesus, pray that our discussion, our words today, have encouraged men out there to give them strength and clarity what your purpose is, and that we will go to prayer in each and everything, that you be glorified in all that we do. In your name, amen.
Brother, there is hope, and you are definitely not alone.